Well, I wake Lori up to a mantra every single morning. I literally roll over, I shake her by the shoulders while she's sleeping. I say, babe, I'm happier, healthier, wealthier, and more fit than I was yesterday. And I make her say it back to me. So from a mantra, that's a daily fixture in our life. Favorite quote? Man, we talked about it before. Ego is your greatest overhead. But I also have one tattooed on my arm that says, live as though the universe conspires in your favor, because it does.
Welcome to the Network Marketing Made Simple podcast. I am your host, Scott Aaron, and each and every week I'm going to come to you with short, simple, and powerful tactics of how you can grow your network marketing business, brand, bank account, and impact on those around you. And just remember, network marketing is not easy, but it can be made easy with simple steps to create the success that you truly deserve.
Welcome to episode 90 of the Network Marketing Made Simple podcast. And if you are a new listener, then welcome. And if you are a returning listener, then welcome back. And as always, if you are a network marketer, new or old to the profession, and you are still building your business through the means of Facebook and Instagram, and you are not yet leveraging the power of LinkedIn, then head over to my website, www.scottaaron.net. Fill out the form to schedule a free 15-minute discovery call with me where I can learn more about you, your struggles, and how we could potentially work together. So I am totally stoked about today's episode. I love interviewing and I love hearing people's stories, especially when I get such a dear friend of mine, but also a mentor and someone that I personally look up to come on here and share their wealth and their knowledge. And I know that you guys are going to get so, so much value from this. So I don't want to waste any more time. So Chris Harder, welcome to today's episode.
Scott, my friend, how you doing? Listen, number one, I love what you teach. I love what you represent. Number two, I love network marketing. So I can't wait to see where we go today.
Awesome. So first and foremost, it's possible. There may be some people that, you know, I have a wide range of listeners that may not be familiar with you and what you do. So just do a short little introduction. Who is Chris Harder? You know, how did you get to where you are today? And what's your big passion that you're kind of moving forward with right now?
Man, that's a loaded question. I will get as high level overview as I can. And if you want to go deep on something, we can do that.
Sound absolutely good? Perfect.
All right, so here's the cliff notes. Midwest born and raised, and like the really cool thing about being born and raised in the Midwest is you're given things like a great work ethic and good family values and all the really good foundational things that you need to be successful in life. And then if you can take those two things or take some of those qualities to the coasts where actually all the action's going on, that is like the dream 1-2 punch, and that's what we've ended up doing. Now, it hasn't been like this smooth, awesome journey doing that necessarily. I mean, I was kicked out of college and worked my way up through first a car dealership and then the world's biggest bank. And then I was part of a building a mortgage bank with another business partner and sold my shares out of that. And then now Lori and I went through that exciting moment in time where you lose everything during a recession, right? And so that was my chance to really kind of strip myself of a lot of bad habits I had, especially financially, a lot of very false and shallow identities that I had. And I got to choose again. I got to choose how I wanted to show up in life this time around. Now, that was probably 10 years ago now, almost 11 years ago now. And the crazy thing about, you know, being able to choose again and start from below zero, not even zero, but below zero, is the sky's the limit. Like, you get to show up with any value you want to show up in that way. And I decided I wanted to show up in a way that helped other people more. I wanted to show up in the entrepreneur space more, and network marketing, of course, was one of the big verticals that was a part of this story. And I also knew I wanted to move from the Midwest out to California, here where all the opportunity was. So that's kind of how my wife Lori and I ended up out here talking to you right now.
So let's dive a little bit deeper. And you messaged you mentioned a word that I love, and it's something that Nancy and I always talk about, which is values. So if someone was to ask you, you know, Chris, what are your personal core values? What would you say?
Love and big thinking and consistency, adding value, and really just leading a really extraordinary life. I've got to tell you, I believe that we were all put here to lead a really extraordinary life. And every single person does have a shot at it. They really do. Even if you feel like you're in the muck right now, you got a shot at it. Most people aren't doing what it takes to live on. But really, those are my values, like love and contribution, generosity, and living an extraordinary life.
So with that, I mean, you and Lori are doing incredible things, and that's not going to stop. That's going to continue. But as of today, right now, what do you feel is the most extraordinary thing that you've been able to do or take part in?
You know, my message of when good people make good money, they do great things. Spreading the idea of it's okay to pursue money. It's okay to pursue wealth because it's just a tool that allows you to leverage it to give to a cause that you care about, help people that you care about, move the needle on something that, you know, is hurting society. And the ripple effect that that's had, whether it's the listeners, whether it's the social media audience, whether it's the DMs that I get where people are talking about a charity that they started or that they contributed to for the first time. All of those things, I think, are probably the most exciting thing right now, because I got to tell you, it's like incredible when you start with a message and it's this tiny little seed and you start to see it bear fruit, and then it turns into, you know, a damn orchard at that point. It's a really cool thing to be a part of.
It's amazing. And, you know, you and I are both in the mindset that, you know, network marketing can be the catalyst for so many other things once the wheels start turning and the residual income, the mindset. But if you were to kind of break it down, if you had to put your thumb on the biggest lesson that you learned in your network marketing journey, what would that lesson be?
Oh, man, it has to be this. Don't judge a book by its cover. You know, when I started network marketing, I was so anti-network marketing, it wasn't even funny. Like, I thought that was for crazy, desperate people that begged you to try their shakes or their toys or whatever in the world they were selling, right? And I really had my walls up about it, and I judged it. And, you know, we used a product for about a year, and absolutely loved it. And my walls were up so high that people would ask us what we're doing differently because we looked better and we're healthier and more fit. And we literally like lie and not lie, but like leave out of the equation the company's products that were taken because our walls were up so high about it. And it wasn't until my wife, Lori, she sat me down and she's like, listen, I really want to take a stab at this. I see other people doing really well with it. You know, you're miserable in your career, Chris. We need to make a comeback. So let's do it. And I was like, no way, not a chance. I'll tell you what, Lori, you go and you try and sell a little bit of that to your clients, your friends. And if you make, this is a funny story. I said, if you make enough to pay my car payment, because I was stuck in this car payment while we were reinventing ourselves financially. Mm. So if you make enough to make my car payment, which I remember like it was yesterday, it was $829. I said, then maybe I'll take it serious. So sure enough, 2 months go by. She makes my car payment. She's like, see, I did it. It, you know, like this works, wow. Let's try it. And I said, no, not a chance. I said, I'll tell you what, if you can make our rent payment for the little condo that we're in right now, and it was $2,900 a month, I said, then I will take it serious and I'll do this with you. So two more months go by, she makes $2,900. She's like, see, this could really work. And I'm like, no, not a chance. So I said, tell you what, if you can make $5,000 in 1 month, then I will take it serious. Now, here's what's messed up, Scott. I was miserable in my career. I was growing a mortgage bank at the time, and we were doing really well doing it, but we kept reinvesting all profits into the company. So I wasn't making squat for money, even though the company was doing great. And I was a junior partner, so I had less shares than obviously the founders. And so desperately, I wanted this to work. But on the outside, I kept putting up the front, like, I would never do that. That's for, you know, different kind of people. Go prove it to me. And every time I would move the finish line for her, I would secretly be like, oh, my God, I hope this works. And wow. So then, sure enough, 3 more months go by and she comes back and she says, here you go, $5,000 in a month. I remember it was actually like $5,134. Wow. And at this point, she didn't ask me if I want to do it with her. She said, listen, am I allowed to swear on your podcast or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
She's like, listen, asshole, you're either a part of the problem or you're a part of the solution. What's it going to be? Because this is clearly working. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll do this with you. And that really was the start of our network marketing journey. And I got into this company and got into the industry, and I met the coolest, most successful, most, you know, beautiful human beings inside and out. And it's not what I thought the industry was. And so you asked for my number one lesson. Man, you can't judge a book by its cover. Like, you have to. And it's funny, Lori and I have this policy in our marriage now that we'll always try everything on for size. If it doesn't end up being a fit, that's okay. But we'll always try everything on for size. And that lesson stems from network marketing. We almost missed out on an opportunity that for the past 10 years we've fed our body with, and for the past 8 years has been a multiple seven-figure paycheck for us.
Amazing. And I love the vulnerability. It's funny. It's like you were consciously but unconsciously motivating Lori to keep reaching higher and higher and higher. And it was almost like an unspoken motivation that she had to, you know, say, okay, I did it. Okay, I did it. Okay, I did it. Now you're doing it. So
totally.
I think that's it's really cool. So coming back to like where you are right now and your podcast, honestly, it's like it's part of mine and Nancy's weekly routine. It grounds us. And I was watching some of the clips from your speaking event, and you said something in your talk yesterday. You said your ego is your largest overhead.
Ego is your greatest overhead.
Greatest overhead. And that's so powerful, because you think of all the people out there that are leading with their large ego, and they have this large overhead, and they're never really able to step into their full potential and power because of the ego. So talk about, you know, and I don't think there's a person on this planet that has not had ego take part at some aspect of their life. So what work have you done on yourself ego-wise that has really allowed you to step into this power that you're in right now to impact so many people?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We've all fallen victim to letting ego get the best of us at some point. Some of us just way more than others. And I was really, really, really full of ego growing up. Like, the reason why we lost everything financially was not the recession. The reason why we lost everything was because we were so highly leveraged when the recession hit that we didn't stand a chance, right? Nothing happens to you. That is such a victim mentality. Instead, it is you happen to yourself if you're willing to look far enough back and see where you made the decisions that put you where you are in that moment. So anyhow, my ego of like wanting this life that looks so extraordinary on the outside to look so good to everybody, my ego of wanting to be a good provider for Lori, which ironically was not being a good provider, my ego of, you know, just wanting to show up that much, quote, cooler than the person next to me. All of that is what will take you down. And it took us down. And that clearing, that chance to choose again, is really when I decided to, you know, set that ego aside and build a life with different foundations this time. Matter of fact, there were two times. That was one. And then there was a second time after that. So guys, what you work on will always creep back. There's a time after that when somebody I respect to set me down and they're like, listen, man, I just feel like you're leading with a lot of ego again. And, you know, I don't want it to get you in trouble again. And it really comes across this way. And it was a great conversation that was probably hard for that person to have that reminded me, oh, this could get the best of me. But listen, ego is your greatest overhead because it'll always cost you more than anything else. Think about it from this perspective. Ego will cause you to spend money on things that you should not yet be spending money on. Therefore, you don't have the money to invest in the things you should be investing it in, right? So therefore, ego was great overhead. But now ego will also cause you to speak up when you shouldn't, and that might burn a bridge. Ego will also cost you to do the inverse of that. It'll cause you to not speak up when you should because you're afraid of what people will think of you. So you might miss an opportunity. It'll ruin relationships. It'll ruin opportunities. Ego will always cost you more than any other bad decision you can possibly make. And so number one, you have to be aware of it. And you have to be willing to accept, yes, I am operating from ego. Doesn't make me a bad person. It makes me a stupid person, and I can change it. And then number two, be willing to change it. You're not going to change overnight, but that conscious choice of I want to show up differently and being willing to catch it and reframe and catch it and reframe, just like going to the gym, it's a muscle that you have to exercise, and repetition will pay off eventually. You have to choose to set ego aside and come from a place of love. And, you know, yesterday when I was speaking in front of those 2,000 people, I did a quick Insta story. And I said, hey, for all of you that are DMing me and asking me, you know, do I get nervous before I speak? The answer is no. Number one, repetition helps me to not be nervous anymore. I've done it a lot. But number two, way more important than that, is I don't come from a place of ego wanting to look good on the stage. I don't come from a place of ego wanting to, quote, not screw up or not make a mistake up there. I come from a place now of service. How can I love on these people? How can I serve them? I even say a little prayer before I go up, like, you know, God, let me just be the vehicle to say whatever words you want me to say to these people, so it takes all the pressure off of me. That's coming from the opposite of ego. That's coming from a place of, listen, let me just be a vehicle, and whatever people need, you know, hopefully they'll tap in and grab it from me.
You know, it's funny. This is my 90th episode, and, you know, I've done about almost 20 interviews, and, you know, some are long, some are short. And I think in this short 14, 15 minutes, I couldn't have asked for any more golden nuggets that you've provided, because it's not about what people say. It's actually why they're saying it. And everything that comes out of your mouth, you know, people that know you or don't know you, you can absolutely hear that it's coming from your heart, from a place of service and really wanting people to be better. So what, you know, that you're doing so many big things right now. You have your Elite Mastermind, you have your, you know, Fast Foundations Mastermind, you're doing the speaking, everything. At this stage right now, what is currently inspiring you most?
You know, the masterminds that we do are probably my absolute favorite thing that we've ever done yet. And here's why. It's a room, whether it's our entry-level one called Fast Foundations, whether it's our elite one that you're in, it's a room full of really ambitious, high-performing entrepreneurs that all are unapologetic about dreaming out loud. And actually, we're creating the safe space for them to dream out loud, because let's be honest, and boy, there's so many network marketers who are listening to this podcast right now. Let's be honest. When you're building a business from your family room by yourself, oh, it is easy to like listen to that negative self-talk. And when you are building a business by yourself in your family room, it is easy to go down the wrong rabbit hole. And it is easy to second guess yourself. And it is easy to get lonely, right? Mm. And so when we create these masterminds, man, we're just creating the container for people that say, I'm sick and tired of being lonely. I'm sick and tired of being trapped by my negative self-talk. I'm sick and tired of not finding the tribe where I feel like I can dream out loud and be unapologetic about what I want to sell, what I want to pursue, what I want to accomplish. We're creating the room. We're creating the container where they get to come show up that way. And I literally have goosebumps right now as I talk about it, because creating that container is one of the most important things that we have ever, ever done. In that room, yeah, it's 50% teaching you brand new business tips that you wouldn't learn otherwise. But the other 50%, you've been there. It's the collaboration that we create using those really carefully curated exercises where we break you off and you guys are solving each other's problems and you're solving each other's woes and you're lifting each other up. And we're talking about things that are real. Mm. Man, remember when we talked about like who has financial fears right now?
Yeah.
In a room full of $1 million earners. Remember when we talked, wasn't that nuts? Everyone's hand went up.
Yeah.
Remember when we talked about like who's lonely right now? Like that's the container that people need. And if you can't create it on your own, you have to invest in it. You really do, because you're not going to get to the next level as an entrepreneur without that tribe, without that container of that safe space where you get to do all of those things without second guessing yourself.
And I remember initially reaching out to you last year and we had a great conversation and you said, listen, the only thing you're missing is your tribe, because, you know, entrepreneurship is a very lonely place and I can't sing enough praises for your elite mastermind. And I haven't shared this with you yet, but I took a look at my halfway point numbers for this year and I'm up 50% profit than I was this time last year.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And I have you to thank for putting this, like you said, this incubator together where you're putting the right people, you've created a beautiful group of people with the right speakers, the right knowledge and the right know-how where people can collaborate and they can network with each other, because, you know, you hear the quote all the time, you're the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. And in entrepreneurship, when you're in the trenches, it could be a very lonely place. You find yourself working alone. You sometimes don't step outside to even feel the fresh air because you're so entrenched. And the great thing that I love about your mastermind is that it's really pushed you forward. It's gotten you out of that comfort zone or that quote unquote funk that a lot of entrepreneurs get in, because you're doing the same thing day in, day out. And this, it forces you to grow. It forces you to face your fears that will then obviously then start to push you forward. So first, just thank you for all of that you've put together, because it is so amazing.
Well, thank you for saying that. That means the world. By the way, congratulations. I didn't know that about your numbers. It's really awesome.
Thank you.
You know, every time that you put something out there, you're like, oh my God, I hope it works for every single person. And sometimes it doesn't. So when you hear that it does, you're like, yes, thank you. But listen, whether it's my mastermind or whether it's somebody else's, this is not like to sell my mastermind. This is to encourage people that are listening to get out from behind the desk in your lonely office. Get out from the living room where you're doing all your calls and building your business. Get out from this little safe space where, you know, you're all alone, and go find the people that are going to get you to the next level. You know, one of the things that I guess I hear the most in terms of feedback is when I bring people in and introduce you to people that you otherwise couldn't meet, because I have the privilege of just running around in a really cool group of human beings right now. So when I, you know, introduce you to, I'm going to leave names out, but you know some of the people I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This person or that person, or that person. And you have that one conversation, or you get to ask that one thing about social media and find out a secret that nobody else knows. Or when you get to do, I'll use one example, the call coming up where you're like, hey, Chris, I want to speak on more stages. And I said, oh, good news, because the expert I'm bringing in on this month's call is my friend who makes $1.5 million a year speaking on 75 stages per year. And he's going to teach you guys exactly how he does it. Like, that is the best part. You can't learn what's behind the curtain until you get into the groups where they're revealing it. And everyone's working way too hard saying, why not me? When am I going to get my break? When is it going to happen for me? And the truth of the matter is, it's going to be like finding a needle in the haystack, finding out all these secret, insider, more efficient things that people like you are doing, buddy, unless you get into the rooms where the secrets are being revealed. And it's not that they're like intentionally trying to keep these things secrets. It's just that we're not going to end up having the opportunity to have that conversation unless you happen to be in the rooms where the conversation's being had. It's really that simple.
It's amazing, and it's so true, because it's taking those necessary steps to have the right conversations, getting the right introductions, because I can't tell you how, and again, no matter what the mastermind, the biggest takeaway for me, it's been for me to expand my network. It's been a way for me to, like you said, talk to people and create lasting relationships. And the best way that For people that have not done a mastermind, the best way to explain it is, and I don't know when you were in college if you joined a fraternity, but I was in a fraternity when I started off at the University of Pittsburgh, and when you pledge with your pledge class, it is like this bond when you go through a whole semester of pledging with your brothers or, you know, your sorority sisters. It's a bond that's never broken. You will have something to come back to forever. And that's what I can compare that feeling of being in a mastermind, because, you know, I remember coming out in February and everyone's kind of feeling each other out, meeting each other, starting to talk. And then you start to forge these friendships and these bonds and this family feel in the months after. And then when we went out the second time in May, everyone couldn't wait to get back out there to be with their family. And this is going to go far beyond the mastermind. There's relationships that I now have with people in this mastermind that are forever friendships and relationships. So that's one of the biggest takeaways for me, is that these people aren't just in there to just be a part of your life for that time period. This is a forever bond that you end up forming with these people. And it's just amazing what you've put together.
That is exactly the key. It's putting together that tribe that you otherwise wouldn't have. And again, you can do this on your own. Like, yeah, if you really make one heck of an effort, you don't have to go join a mastermind. The point is, put together that tribe. Whether you're buying into the tribe to make it easy, or whether you're putting it together yourself because you have the talent to do so, you must be in a tribe of fast-moving, intelligent, like-minded entrepreneurs, or you're going to move like a turtle at best in your business. It's just the truth, man. It's just the truth.
So no one wants to move like a turtle, by the way. And I mean, you know, again, you're moving forward, but obviously, you know, you want to speed things up. You got to, you know, surround yourself with people that are running at a pace where you can learn how to keep up. So that's brilliant. So here's a question. And you know, I get asked this question too. Does Chris Harder ever get burnout?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And what does Chris Harder do when he gets burnout?
So this has been a year where Lori and I said, we're taking every weekend off. And this might sound like really basic information to other people where they're like, duh, like, why wouldn't you? But we really worked 7 days a week for the last several years because we were so ambitious. But we were ambitious to a fault, because when I look back, and this is a really important lesson, when I look back, because I gave myself a container the size of 7 days a week, I let my work swell to fit the size of that container. Instead of giving myself a smaller container and telling myself the standard hasn't changed, you have to hold the same standard in a 5 day week now. And of course, we're holding the same standard, if not higher, because we feel better in a 5 day week container. I had a boss that when I was in banking, I used to complain about the deadlines he'd give me. They were the most unrealistic deadlines ever. And he'd say to me, he'd say, Chris, whether I gave you a container this big, picture his arms stretched out, or a container this big, and picture his hands like kind of making a small box, he said, you would get the same amount of work done. So I'm giving you a container this big. And I hated him for it, and I loved him for it. And I've taken that lesson and reminded myself of it this year, and went from being burnt out, and Lori was burnt out too, to absolutely loving our weeks, loving our weekends, feeling good, not being afraid to take a day off, even during the week. And again, if you're listening to this, you're like, wow, you must have been a real psycho. Yeah, that we were so ambitious. And I know there's people that get me right now. We had such big dreams. We were so like hell-bent on making this happen and leading the way that we did it to a fault, and we could have done it a lot more efficiently.
It's funny, intuitively, I've been doing that as well. Because the thing is, you know, as an entrepreneur, because you create your own schedule, I was doing calls and doing this on Saturdays and Sundays. And I need that time to recharge and not take a break from my business, but give something back to myself, take care of me. Because if I can't show up my best each and every day for the people that look to me for inspiration or advice, or my clients, then I'm doing them a disservice at the same time as doing myself a disservice. So, you know, having that work-life balance is essential for having a successful and a lot of longevity in entrepreneurship, because if you're not taking care of you, you're not thinking clearly, you know, the productivity goes down, and there's a lot more adverse effect to that than the positive effect of giving yourself more time back. So I think that's brilliant.
Well, I just want to point out, people always ask about balance, and you just mentioned work-life balance, and they think that that means that you've got your days perfectly balanced, your weeks perfectly balanced. Balance is an absolute lie on a granular basis. I'm sorry, it's a trap. It's a false thing to pursue. I believe that balance is a more macro measurement. I believe that balance also goes in seasons. So there are going to be some seasons where Lori and I have to go back to a six-day work week for a while, where we have to work longer, faster days than we are right now in summer. But the seasons come and go. And when you start appreciating the balance in the form of seasons and doing your best to take care of yourself physically and mentally during the tougher seasons, that to me is really the goal. That to me is the quote balance that everyone's looking for.
I love that. So, you know, you've had extraordinary mentors in your life, and you know, the circle that you are now in, it's an incredible one. And I'm honored to, you know, obviously get some of the drippings of that circle when we're together out in California. What's the, and this, again, this is a asking a big question, putting it into a little box, but I want you to answer this the best that you can. What's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given at any point in your life that you've been able to take with you to everything that you've been able to do, whether it's the masterminds, your network marketing, your corporate career, your the balance of you being a husband? What was that one piece of advice?
Man, asking for one is tough.
Or you can give you can give your top two or three. You can give a couple.
Yeah, here's number one. Don't be afraid to make decisions that you know other people aren't going to be, that they're not going to like. Literally, do not be afraid to make decisions that you already know other people are not going to like. Yeah, they're not going to like it. Yeah, they might talk a little crap. Yeah, they might, you know, feel threatened by it, or you know, say that you've gone off the deep end or whatever it might be. But if you know you're making a decision that is good for you and your loved ones, then make it unapologetically. And here's the funniest part about it. Every single time, as enough time passes, 50% of the people that said, oh, you're crazy, come back around and say, could you teach me how? Right? Could you teach me how? Could you show me how to do that? And so make those decisions that you know are good for you and your loved ones unapologetically, even knowing it's going to upset people that you like or upset people that you care about, because otherwise you're a prisoner. Man, otherwise you are a puppet and a prisoner, and you are putting your happiness and your wealth and your success second to making other people happy. And that's asinine. So that's number one. Number two, intentionally build relationship capital. Like relationship capital, building relationships where, you know, you've got the law of reciprocity starting to work in your favor. Building relationship capital is way better than building capital. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, you need to build money, capital. But relationship capital is what's there for you before you have money. Relationship capital is what's there for you when you lose money. Relationship capital is there to pick you up or to cheer you on or to connect you to somebody that you otherwise wouldn't get connected to, or to save you money on a project because they're willing to lend their expertise to you. Like, relationship capital and being intentional about building a network full of like really badass individuals, that should be on everybody's mind when they wake up. You should not leave the damn house without saying, who can I add value to? Like, who do I want in my circle? And what do I know that they're working on that maybe I could add a little value to? Do they have a new book that I could share on social media and of them and give them to friends on social media? Do they have a course that I could promote for them? Do they have a podcast? And I know a great man or woman that would be a good fit for their podcast that they've been trying to get on. Like, there's always a way to add value. Here's a great example, because a lot of people are like, I can't think of ways to add value to, you know, people that are really high up. That's a lie. You're not thinking hard enough, because there's this remarkable woman who until recently was a stranger. And she lives in North Carolina, and she reached out to me on Instagram. She said, listen, she said, obviously our audiences are nowhere near the same. And obviously the things that we're doing are not at the same level right now. But I wanted to offer you the one thing that I thought maybe I could offer in hopes of at least starting a relationship of reciprocity down the road. And she said, I am an actress and I am a stage coach. Like, I teach people how to be on stage. I teach them how to be on video better. And she said, I love the way you come across on your Instagram stories. I took your recent money course called The Money Principles. And if you're open to it, I think we could take you from really good to extraordinary with just a few key tweaks. Now, I'm not asking for any money for this. This is my area of expertise. And if you're not open to it, that is totally cool too, because you're already doing great. That approach from a stranger, I just respected the approach so much, the way she worded it. I was like, yeah, I'm in. Like, what can I clean up? Give me that low-hanging fruit. And we got on the Zoom call, and she coached me through the low-hanging fruit, and it was awesome. And now I love this person, someone who was a stranger to me before, who had, you know, in her mind, not very much to offer, but she's wrong, by the way. This is somebody who worked their way into my life by leading with value and building relationship capital. So there's always a way. Just get more creative and stop, you know, taking the easy way out.
Lead with value. I love that. And there was something else that you said in your talk, that just the way that money works, like, it's just written into the bylaws, is basically the more that you give, the more you will get.
Yeah. The more you give, the more you get. And listen, you don't give to get, but it's just the way the world happens to work. Good news for you. Right? So that's the law of reciprocity. You should be doing so much for other people that when you finally need something, you have an army of people coming to your rescue.
And let me just clarify for the listeners, that doesn't mean, you know, giving takes so many different shapes. It's, you know, the first thing that comes to people's mind, Chris, is, you know, the monetary exchange. I'm going to donate money to this and I'm going to do this, but donating your time,
And I'm just going to use an example. A podcast like this where people are getting free advice from you, or if I do a Facebook Live, giving your time, giving your advice. The woman that reached out to you on Instagram and said, can we hop on a Zoom? I want to give you something. That is giving. That's another – it's you can't put a monetary value on giving. Does that make sense?
You absolutely can't. It is – giving is a secret to everything you want. It really is. You've heard me say this before, but think about it. You want a better body? Like, give more to your workouts. Give better fuel to it. Give more, you know, healthy food to it. Want a better relationship? Give more presence to it. Give more time to it. Give more intention to it. Give more love to it. Want a better bank account? Well, then let's give more attention to our investments. Let's give more attention to our businesses. Want better customers? Like, give them more and they'll be better customers. Giving is a secret to every single thing people want. But the problem is they're out there taking, taking, taking. They're out there asking, asking, asking. They're out there begging, 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 instead of giving so much that in return, the boomerang effect is working in their favor.
Final two questions. Number one, who has been your biggest inspiration to date?
This is the cheesiest answer ever, but it's got to be my wife. It's got to be my wife, Lori, because she has been on a rocket ship for so long now. And she is going to space, so to speak, with or without me. Like, that's one thing we're very clear about in our relationship is, okay, I'm going here regardless, with or without you. I hope you come along. And it's setting that pace, and it's dreaming together and setting the big vision, and it's her accomplishing really big things that holds me accountable to making sure that I am up to speed and on that rocket ship as well.
Awesome. Final question before we end today's episode. What is your favorite quote or favorite mantra that you live by?
Well, I wake Lori up to a mantra every single morning. I literally roll over, I shake her by the shoulders while she's sleeping. I say, babe, I'm happier, healthier, wealthier, and more fit than I was yesterday. And I make her say it back to me. So from a mantra, that's a daily fixture in our life. Favorite quote? Man, we talked about it before. Ego is your greatest overhead. But I also have one tattooed on my arm that says, live as though the universe conspires in your favor, because it does.
Love that. So finally, before we end today's episode, Chris, how can people find you online, website, social media? I know you're big on Instagram. How would you like people to get in touch with you?
So right now, the only platform I'm hanging out on is Instagram. And I love when people DM me their business questions. I've made a commitment to answer them all. And so DM me or find me on Instagram at Chris W. Harder, Chris W. Harder. And I've got to get my tail active on LinkedIn that I've learned from you. And so you and I need to sit down and do a little strategy session.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chris, thank you again so much for your time, your love, your energy, your just golden nuggets of knowledge that is really just changing so many lives, including mine. So it's just so grateful and thankful for you. And thank you so much for being here today.
My man, I am so grateful that you asked me to come on. I love what you're doing, Scott. Keep doing it full speed, unapologetically, because you're making a huge difference, brother.
Thank you, brother. And again, to the listeners, thank you so much for joining me today. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I will talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you again so much for checking out this week's episode. And if you can, head over to iTunes, search for Network Marketing Made Simple, leave me a 5-star rating, basic review. I would be grateful for all of the support you guys can give me. And again, if you'd be interested in learning more how to utilize LinkedIn to grow your business, your brand, and your bank account, head over to my website, www.scottaron.net. Fill out the form for your free 15-minute discovery call so I can learn more about you, your business, and how we can work together. And again, thank you guys so much. Grateful for you all, and I'll see you next time.